He is Jay DeMarkin. This is Car Keys. Good morning, Jay. What'd you do with Robin?
Robin is on probably another road trip.
Okay.
We can guess where, but...
We'll hear all about it at some point.
We'll hear all about it. That's right.
All right. So we've got you, and you are going to tell us... You have now turned into... you are now lugging, quote, my periodicals around. So I think that's pretty cool, but...
Yeah, it's just a source of inspiration. I was thinking of what we could talk about, and there's a bunch of subjects I would like to talk about over time. But the doing, the making, and the undoing of car brands, is something that always fascinates me. And I was on the way over. I was thinking, okay, what are the great brands? What were the great brands? What's up and coming? And
that is
what's
so funny because I just for no reason except I don't know. I just got all for no reason. I started thinking about that as well. I started thinking about it's like, okay, there is Ford. That is like there's Ford. There is Chevy. There is, and it goes on and on.
It goes
on,
and, on and on and on. And some brands are or some car manufacturers have only one or two brands, and others have a myriad of different brands, and sometimes different brands for different markets, and it car manufacturing has become a very complex operation.
But there's also the tiers that I remember learning as a kid. Meaning, this was the regular, and this was the medium, and this was the luxury. And I noticed that again, not as a kid driving up. With what was clearly a Toyota Transport. And I was like, well, what's that Lexus doing? And I was like, slow your roll, Jill. That's what that Lexus is doing there.
Yes. Well, and it's become harder and harder because there are more and more models, more and more brands. Every market is a little different, so manufacturers adapt the models for different markets. Some brand names are used in different markets and are totally different cars. For instance, GM has started using the Chevy brand in Europe as a low, small car, subcompact, small car, inexpensive, cheap cars. A lot of them made, I think, either in Korea or China, and so they just used a name that they had. In Buick, for instance, is a brand that I do not comprehend how it still exists here in the U.S., except that it is the best-selling brand, luxury brand in China for whatever reason. And I think just to justify the presence of Buick in China, GM needs to keep the brand alive here in the U.S. That is just a hunch that I have.
One of those who knew.
Yeah, who knew? And did GM really plan on Buick being their flagship luxury brand in China when they started selling cars in China 10 or 20 years ago? Probably not, but they're riding that wave.
But there's a certain element of, you know, that is part of business. You adapt. It's like if you blunder into something, sorry for the word, but there are so many. It's always fun. You know, the Post-it was invented by accident. The brownie was invented by...
Right.
You know, suddenly something catches on.
But then other brands have an image that is built over decades of putting out good, when I say simple product, a product that's easily identifiable. In the luxury brand cars, for instance, Mercedes-Benz is no doubt the number one luxury brand in pretty much every market they're in, you know, obviously in Europe, but here in the U.S. as well. And I was just looking at the sales figures for January. I think number one, two, three is Mercedes, BMW, and Lexus. And I don't know where Audi fell back because Audi had come up the ranks in the last few years. But for January 2018, they're not in the top three.
Maybe it was their service. She sneered. Sorry about that. No, I just a couple of friends had, you know, were really Audi-esque, and then
we're very Audi-esque.
I'm not even referring to people that you know. Just it's just random. They started having terrible trouble getting their getting just the regular service that you would expect if you were Audi-esque. So I don't know whether that has. I mean, I'm sure two people doth not a summer. You know, I'm sure they're not the cause of it. But just when you start hearing things,
Well, luxury brand cars are expensive to operate. Usually, they're like most new car. I mean, most new cars are meant to be taken to a dealership to get serviced because they're more and more complicated, and you know, dealerships are best equipped to handle the cars and have the parts available to fix them. Back to Audi as a brand, you look at how the brand became what it became, and it's a parallel track with Subaru, which is not a luxury brand, but they both, I think, became what they are today with their with a simple concept. It's their four-wheel drive, all-wheel drive, all-the-time system, Quattro in Audi language, and symmetrical all-wheel drive for Subaru.
And I have to say that I remember 30-some-odd years ago, a friend who had the very first – Subaru was just coming into this market.
Yeah, they've been here for 50 years, but 30 years ago they were starting
– Just as passenger cars.
Yep.
And I remember driving – what it was essentially a tin can, which they evolved and improved over time. And suddenly, it's like if you don't have the context or watch the trajectory,
And again, Subaru is a brand that developed and has a reputation of being extremely reliable, keeps its value. It's a sound investment. You know, if you buy a Subaru, there's a good chance you're going to go 200,000 or 300,000 miles if you want to do so without any major trouble. The architecture of the drive system, the architecture of the engine hasn't changed. They have this very original in the sense that, as far as I know, only a Porsche uses a flat 4 or a flat 6 engine design. And Subaru has done that since ever. And it's an unconventional engine architecture, but it works. And it's a signature of the brand, as well as the all-wheel drive. And but yes, they were very tin can-ish. I remember sitting in the first Subaru I sat in the late 70s, and I was kind of horrified. But the cars were simple. They
worked like cars, right?
Yeah, and the people who owned them then have grown up, and that's how we see people now driving pretty plush Subaru Outbacks, and Robin would be quick to mention the Subaru Ascent that will be coming out this spring, which is a full-size SUV, and I'm sure it'll sell very well. But it's taken Subaru 40, 50 years to build that reputation and build the brand.
And speaking of which, and this, I love this, and I haven't used this as recently as it should, but it's the only place that success comes before work is in the dictionary.
Okay, yeah. Well,
it takes, yeah. And this is something that people, there's a long-term strategy and a medium-term strategy and a short-term strategy,
And I think the long-term strategy pays off in the automotive business. If you look at, and I was thinking about that this weekend, if you look at a brand like Hyundai, a car manufacturer like Hyundai, which encompasses the Hyundai brand, of course, but Hyundai bought out or merged with Kia a couple decades ago, and 2 years ago, they created their luxury brand that they called Genesis. And trying to accomplish pretty much what Toyota did with Lexus 25, almost 30 years ago. And the strategy is working pretty well. They first rebadged a car that was launched as a Hyundai, and the high-end Hyundai, and that was their first Genesis model, which is the G80, which is a mid-size luxury sedan. And then they put out their full-size car about a year ago, which goes head to head with the S-Class Mercedes and Lexus LS, whatever it's called now, 500, and Audi A8, and did pretty well in a comparison test that one of the magazines did a month or two ago, and now just came out with their smaller car, the G70, which I'm sure is built on the same platform as the Kia Stinger, which is another rear-wheel drive, smallish car, which is their, I wouldn't call it entry-level luxury, G70 is their Hyundai's entry-level luxury sedan, kind of the size of an A4 Audi or BMW 3 Series. It's just taken time, and they've gone slowly about it, and they are creating a network to sell the cars by selecting, obviously, their best Hyundai dealers. But they do have a network, and they will.
So you can only go to these particular dealerships to buy a Genesis?
Yes, not every Hyundai dealer is a Genesis dealer, but there are. I don't know what the number.
What the
of
criteria?
Dealers are,
okay.
But there are. They've thought this out. I was going to say, unlike another car manufacturer trying to make a comeback or have a brand make a comeback, and I'm thinking of Fiat Chrysler and the Alfa brand, which in my mind, in the long term, is going nowhere.
And what's really interesting is I just flashed on, there was some sporting event that I was watching the other day, and the Alfa was very much their little lion thing, griffin, whatever it is.
Yeah.
Was on the front of the not podium, but the
grill.
Desk at which the sportscasters were sportscasting. But what was interesting was I thought, oh, now I remember that from, I hate to say it, like a zillion years ago when it was pretty cool to have a Fiat.
The Alfa is cool. it's a great car, but right now they came out with a Roadster 3 years ago.
Yeah, but I mean, I'm talking the.
Oh yeah,
some zeros.
Well,
to...
I grew up in Europe. There were quite a few Alfas. They were small sports cars and sports sedans, and they always had a presence in Europe. But they were also always a little finicky, and that reputation has
preceded them.
They're back on the market here with a sports car that came out 2 or 3 years ago, which is really cool. But you really don't see a lot of them, and they obviously cannot make any money off it. And they have now a pretty cool sedan. And like everybody else, an SUV. But I don't know that they have the network to sell the car, and I don't know that reputation is not going to stick to their back. You know, and we're coming back to brands. Is it from a marketing standpoint, is it better to create a new brand or try to bring back an old brand? And some of the car manufacturers have brought back old brands. And Mercedes did that with the Maybach luxury brand, and it failed miserably. About 10 years ago in the early 2000s, mid-2000s, they came out with the two Maybachs, big, huge cars. They were bigger than the S-Class Mercedes. They were the size of a Rolls-Royce or a Bentley, and they were fantastic cars, arguably the best that anybody could make, but they did not sell. Not even in that very small
the very small percent of the 1%.
And so they dropped the whole idea of recreating that Maybach brand, although they do use it as a nameplate on the S-Class Mercedes now, and that seems to be working. But the ambition of recreating the brand was just not realistic.
And what about Bentleys and Rolls Royce?
Have always been there.
I understand. One of my favorite moments across the world was I was at a wedding of a Japanese client's daughter, and he rolled out several Bentleys, and I was.
The Rolls-Royce Bentley story, and it's not fresh in my memory, but it is really interesting because you have to remember that until I'd say about 10 years ago, Rolls-Royce and Bentley were the same company. They were two luxury brands, but really basically were the same cars. And then the company split. Rolls-Royce sold Bentley off to the Volkswagen Group, and Rolls-Royce got into a deal with BMW. I don't know what the equity stake of BMW is in Rolls-Royce, but they do have a technological an agreement as far as engines and design. So there's
so they both went to German companies.
They both went to German companies, different companies.
Right.
And so from there on, the two brands started putting out very different product. Bentley went, you know, I hate to say, downscale a little bit, and I don't want to offend some of my friends who own the Bentley coupes and convertibles, the all-wheel drives that are basically high-end Audis. But and they're fantastic cars, understated, I think, as far as the Bentley kind of what is it called the sedan, the most affordable Bentley sedan.
Don't know the answer.
So they went down market a little bit, but it's worked for them, and the two brands have survived independently. And it's an interesting story. We could come back to that and look
at their models. In due course. But yeah. it's a worthy. You could at the very least get some good conversation going at a bar. Yeah. Do you think you should bring back a brand, or do you think you should start a new one?
Yeah, and the Volkswagen Group came back, has brought back the Bugatti name, and there is no way they are making any money by selling a handful of Bugattis. The Bugatti is there for the claim to fame of being the fastest production car in the world, period, end of story. And there's no other reason.
My father had a friend who collected Bugattis. So that's how I, as a 5-year-old, 6-year-old, was introduced to a Bugatti.
Yeah. Bugattis from the 30s and and they had to be blue, and they were fantastic cars. And then the brand disappeared. I'm not even sure when, was reincarnated. I'd say about 10 years ago, by the Volkswagen Group.
I wonder how many cars are in that Volkswagen Group. That Volkswagen Group.
The brands. Oh.
Lots. But again, people don't think
it. And people don't think about it. They are still, I think they're either the number one or number two car manufacturer in the world, even with all the scandals hitting them now. Volkswagen in Europe is, Volkswagen and Audi, as it is here, Porsche. But also they have other brands like Skoda, which was a Czech car. And when I grew up in Europe, the Skodas were rear-engine, rear-wheel drive cars that fell apart pretty much when you got in. And but Volkswagen bought Skoda in, I would say, the early 90s and started building, cars.
Did not quite fall apart.
It was just cars engineered by Volkswagen and Audi, and to this day now they have a nice range of models in Europe, and they're just slightly downscale from Volkswagen and Audi.
And are they priced accordingly?
And they're priced accordingly. You can drive a Skoda. My dad in Europe drives a Skoda that costs half the price of an Audi, and it feels very Audi-esque when you're driving. The dashboard is the same. The steering wheel is the same.
Look, we had the same thing
here. The mechanicals are the same.
With Volkswagen. Just get a regular Volkswagen, and, it's pretty much, except for the badging, it drives.
They did the same thing. They bought the Spanish car manufacturer Seat, which originally had an agreement and was probably partly owned by Renault until, again, about the mid-90s, and Volkswagen bought them, and they're doing the same thing. And it works for them in Europe. Are we ever going to see Seats and Skodas in North America? Of course not.
Highly unlikely.
Highly unlikely, correct. Anyway, brands, we can talk about them.
I know, but see, they sort of inspire, again, a longer term, which is, you know, when you look back at how the car industry has changed but also stayed the same, it just inspires a whole lot of... And then
you have the brands that have disappeared and no longer here. Oldsmobile, the GM killed in the early 2000s. Chrysler killed. Chrysler. No, what was the first one? Plymouth. They killed Plymouth. They kind of killed Dodge now. I don't think there's any Dodge left. I mean, the trucks have become Rams, and even their best-selling minivan was rebadged as a Pacifica and is sold under the Chrysler brand, which you have to wonder. That's a whole other...
Yeah, does anyone remember Dodge Caravans and Dodge... I mean, that was the whole...
Plymouth Voyagers and Dodge Caravans.
Right.
And then, the Plymouth went down, went away, and we were left with the Dodge Caravan. And then it could have become the Chrysler Caravan, which maybe it did or did not, but now it's a Chrysler Pacifica.
Remember the Pacifica.
The previous Pacifica was more of a crossover. The new Pacifica is a van. And so it's very confusing. And it's a great minivan, by the way. And arguably, even car guys from car magazines say that
if you want a people carrier.
A people carrier, that should be driving Chrysler Pacifica. But... who knows? I mean,
I don't know the. And how do you? What about? Because I'm sure that you learned that behind every accident is a blue van, and if it isn't, then it's a blue van that was painted white. So who is carrying that? Who now makes those vans?
I have no idea.
And you can't see him shrug on the radio. He is Jay DeMarkin. This is Car Keys.